Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon.
You're on Money FM 89.3. I'm Melissa here for the workday afternoon. With a full reopening of our borders and international travel starting to pick up, some experts fear the incidence of venous thromboembolism, or rather blood clots in the veins, will also increase among Singaporeans as more people succumb to their travel bug, especially for far-flung places. Well, the risk of VTE, as it's known in contraction, also increases significantly for those who have been infected with COVID-19. Well, on Health Suites today, we find out how to mitigate the risk of VTE. That's coming up on Money FM 89.3.
Health Suites on Money FM 89.3.
Hello again and welcome into the Health Suites on Money FM 89.3. I'm Melissa Hyuk. Joining me on the line today is Dr. Sriram Narayanan, Senior Consultant Vascular Surgeon of the Harley Street Heart and Vascular Centre. Dr. Ram, hello.
Hi.
Welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much, Melissa.
This is not your first outing, right, with us?
Since COVID, yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, it's been too long then. Okay. Please, let's start off by explaining what venous thromboembolism, or VTE, is.
Essentially, thrombus is clot formation. Embolism is the clot moving from where it is formed to going somewhere else. Venous thromboembolism is clots forming in the veins, usually in the veins of the leg, and then moving up towards the heart and towards the lungs. So venous thromboembolism and DVT, or deep vein thrombosis, are really part of the same spectrum. The clots start in the legs, they travel to the lungs, they block the arteries to the lungs. That puts pressure on your being able to breathe, puts pressure on the heart, and if you're really unlucky and the clot is very big, it can be fatal.
Yes. Maybe you can also explain how it becomes fatal, because the blood clot travels, right?
Yes. If the blood clot moves towards the lungs, it blocks the pulmonary arteries, or the arteries from the heart that go towards the lungs, so that gas can be exchanged in the lungs. So you need to get the carbon dioxide in your system out through the lungs and breathe in fresh oxygen. And that oxygen goes to the rest of your body. Mm. But if those arteries are blocked and there's no blood flow in them, you are unable to exchange oxygen for carbon dioxide. And of course, the pressure, sheer pressure on the right side of the heart, because the arteries leading out from it are blocked, means you go into a cardiac arrest. So a large pulmonary embolism can be rapidly fatal.
Okay. I remember, I think, was it a decade or two ago? I think because of one or two deaths related to deep vein thrombosis, the awareness suddenly became, you know, kind of peaked during that period, right? But I think that awareness building has sort of plateaued a little bit. So right now, why do you think it's a good time to remind people again about VTE?
Well, the sad thing is VTE is rather common. Unfortunately, it is not fatal in a lot of people. You do get breathless because some smaller clots have traveled, but you, the fatality from VTE is less. So for every 80,000 or so clots that travel, only about 14,000 would be fatal.
Okay.
So most of them won't be fatal. So that's good. But it came really into the news about 3 years ago after Serena Williams herself developed a pulmonary embolus from a thromboembolism. And the first time she got it, she was treated. She got it again during her pregnancy, which is one of the risk factors. Sadly, her doctors didn't think she had one, but she went to the hospital and said, "I know what I'm doing. I've got a pulmonary embolus sorted." And that became famous, and even more famous, of course, was then after the pulmonary embolism and her first baby, she went on to win her next Wimbledon. So that sort of brought it into the news. But in current times, what has brought it into the news is COVID. We used to think of COVID as a chest or respiratory infection in the early days of COVID. And if you remember, there was a huge rush to buy ventilators from governments all around the world, which didn't seem to do much good. And that's because very quickly it became apparent that it's not a chest infection, but essentially COVID is an infection of the lining of the blood vessels. And it causes clotting. And because it enters through the lungs, it starts by clotting the vessels in the lungs. And essentially, it is DVT and clots forming in the lungs that are the basis for why COVID kills. And that is the new information that we have, that COVID is a thrombotic disease. You get clots forming all over the body, and therefore the organs that either those arteries in which the clots form are supplied by, or your lungs cannot exchange gas, and that's what leads to fatalities.
That is actually very concerning, because if we look at the cases in Singapore, at least the reported cases, we have about 1.25 million people who have had COVID, myself included. So, you know, if the risk factors for DVT, you know, if having had COVID increases the risk factor for a person, you know, getting DVT, that is certainly very worrisome.
Yeah, but what is also extremely nice coming from the Singapore medical fraternity is, for the number of cases we've had, we have had probably the lowest fatality rate in any developed country in the world. Mm-hmm. And that has something to do with the speed of response and the coordinated response that has come both from a combination of the ministry as well as the level of our medical services. Mm-hmm. If you see that when all these funny drugs, new drugs were tried initially, ventilation, in the end, there were only two drugs that actually proved to be beneficial. One was an old drug, a steroid, and the other was, well, blood thinners or anticoagulants. Mm-hmm. And that basically is what COVID is. Mm-hmm. It causes an inflammation of the lining of the blood vessels, makes them more likely to clot, mm-hmm. and the clots form and kill. And if you start by stopping inflammation with steroids, and with using anticoagulant drugs to stop the clotting, that is the basis of management of COVID. Mm. And the Singapore medical community and the MOH itself, mm-hmm. with all the actions it took, we very quickly realized that this was what was going on. Mm. In fact, there was a first LinkedIn post from me, because I was part of the Thrombosis Society, sometime March 2020, which is very early, that we were seeing these clots coming up, which we weren't expecting before. The numbers were rising. Mm. But very quickly, we cottoned onto it, mm-hmm. and we have a protocol in our hospitals that allows us to respond very early.
Well, Dr. Ram, based
on why we've done well.
Yeah, based on what you currently know, right, whether it's through studies or your own observations, is there a correlation between the risk of developing VTE blood clots in COVID-19 patients with the severity of the symptoms they might have experienced? And I'm also talking about those with mild to moderate sort of symptoms.
Okay. The symptoms are twofold. One are symptoms that are related to the viral load, so that's the amount of inflammation you have. Mm-hmm. So you feel very sick, you get a headache, you get diarrhea, you feel very weak because of muscle weakness. But it is true that the more the inflammation that you have, the more likely you are to have a severe disease. But going down the route of a possible or potential fatality, it is clotting related. It is true that more severe your symptoms, the more likely you are to clot, which is why we will probably intervene early if you have severe symptoms. But that is not to say everybody with symptoms is going to get clots.
Okay. So what kind of symptoms should we be looking out for?
The key symptom to look out for is leg pain and breathlessness.
Pain
in the calf at rest, sudden onset, acute pain. That is a sign that there are clots forming in the leg.
Right.
Breathlessness is a sign that the clots are traveling to the lung. Breathlessness can also be a sign that even though you may be young and fit, you can get clotting in the arteries in the heart as well by itself. So these symptoms are things to look for.
So to revise again to, you know, what we know about DVT and linking it right back to travel, because, you know, traveling for long distances, being in an airplane for, 12 hours or so, tend to be to increase also your risk, right?
Oh, yes. There is no doubt that the risk of DVT increases with flying, especially flying long hours, over 6 hours or so. Sadly, it has been thought to be because you're not moving and legs are not pumping the blood.
Yeah.
That is not entirely true. The truth is that the aircraft is a closed system, and the although there is a ventilation mechanism within the aircraft, it's still a closed system.
Right.
And the oxygen content in the aircraft is a little less than it is at atmospheric pressure on the ground. And therefore, you are traveling in a low oxygen environment. And then there are others with you in the aircraft who are using up the oxygen as well.
Right, right.
So the low oxygen environment causes the lining of the blood vessels to get inflamed by themselves. And that is why the longer the flight, the more your risk of getting a DVT, because you've got inflamed blood vessel lining. To that, we add two things. the fact that you may have been exposed to COVID and you may have a low grade of inflammation you didn't know about in mm-hmm. the blood vessel lining. Mm-hmm. And of course, that you wear masks, which we have to protect ourselves and to protect right. others from us. And that actually probably reduces your breathing a little bit too. So put it all together, and while flying itself is a risk, flying in COVID times is a slightly higher risk than it was before COVID happened. But the other misconception is that you get off the flight and everything's okay. Mm. That is not true. The lining of your vessels is inflamed for about 8 to 12 days afterwards. So which is to say multiple short-haul flights actually carry a similar risk to a long-haul flight.
Wow.
So the idea that, I only fly from here to Cambodia and then Shanghai and back, and then I go to Vietnam and I come back, and then I do KL and I come back. Mm. The sort of Singapore being the central hub for many corporates who then fly around frequently, their risk is actually adding up too.
So what can
they don't have to fly to the US.
What can they do? I mean, if they cannot but travel, right, at yes. that kind of frequency and intensity, what can yes. they do to mitigate? Because as you pointed out also, movement is not exactly a key factor, contributing yes. factor. It is, but maybe yes. not a key one. So, yes. Barring that, what else can they do to protect themselves?
Yes. So what we can do is to try and do all the things to either negate this risk or try and overcome this risk. So on a flight, stay mobile. Stay hydrated. Too much alcohol will cause you to dehydrate. And therefore, drink water rather than all the lovely whiskey on the business class section.
Right.
So stay mobile. That is one. Secondly, you can assess your DVT risk. What adds to your DVT risk? There are other things. If you're on oral contraception, you're at higher risk. And if your weight is high, if your BMI is high, body mass index, especially if it's over 30, then your risk is higher. If you've had recent surgery, especially if you've got varicose veins in your legs now or had recent surgery for varicose veins, your risk is higher. So you can make a risk assessment, and there are ways to try and cut down or negate that risk. Easiest thing, calf compression.
Yes, I was going to ask about those compression stockings you can buy at pharmacies and online.
Okay, I'm going to come in on this because we recently had a fairly big meeting in Dubai, looking at this, and we know that the stockings have to be actually measured for each person. Any stocking doesn't do. You are looking specifically at stockings that cause about 18 millimeters of mercury pressure at the ankle and about 13 millimeters at the calf. So it's squeezing the blood upwards. So everybody's calf size, et cetera, is different. So it needs to be sort of custom measured. You shouldn't just pick up a pair from a pharmacy.
Okay.
The other thing we now know is that while stockings are good, calf compression sleeves, like, athletes wear, runners wear, they probably are physiologically a little superior in getting the blood back to the heart. So you can get that as the first step of assessment. Then rarely some people have genetic disorders that make them more likely to clot. Mm. So if you are a frequent flyer, it's just wise to get that blood test done once so we know that we've ruled it out and your risk is no higher than anybody else's. Mm. And so if you keep your weight down, if you walk around the flight, keep yourself hydrated, and if you're flying a lot, get yourself tested for a possible clotting disorder and wear your calf compression sleeves. There are wonderful ones available. You get executive compression socks, so you can, wear your Armani suit and the sock and get down and change nothing. You can keep that, suave image going throughout the flight.
Okay. Well, we have just less than a minute to go, and I want a quick response to you on this. What about people, with hybrid working conditions these days? A lot of people could still be working from home, right?
Yes.
What about those who remain seated in their home at their home desk the whole day because, they're working from home? Are they at higher risk too?
Yes, they're at a marginally higher risk, especially if they've had COVID exposure. They are because, again, they're not as mobile. The sheer act of getting up in the morning, getting dressed, getting onto the MRT or walking onto a bus, that itself is calf pumping.
Yes.
The blood return against gravity from the legs to the heart depends on you walking and your calf muscles contracting regularly. And when you're sitting at home and with your feet up, then there is a bit of a problem.
Okay.
So yes, they are at a higher risk.
Okay. Well, Dr. Ram, it's been such a pleasure speaking to you. I'm so glad I got to squeeze that question in. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Melissa.
Thank you. You too. We've been speaking with Dr. Sriram Narayanan, Senior Consultant Vascular Surgeon at the Harley Street Heart and Vascular Centre. I'm Melissa Hyak for the Workday Afternoon. You are with Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.